Here's the latest from Canadian lawyer, Law Times and Lexpert on March 10th, 2023. I'm Steve Randall. The Canadian Judicial Council said Tuesday it's reviewing a complaint into the alleged conduct of Justice Russell Brown of the Supreme Court of Canada following reports of his unexplained leave of absence since the beginning of February. However, why the SCC did not indicate why Justice Brown is on leave is disconcerting to some legal watchers. The overall lack of transparency surrounding Justice Brown's leave of absence is concerning and is leaving the door open to speculation and confusion, said Amy Salazin, an associate professor of law at the University of Ottawa and an expert in legal ethics, lawyer regulation, and access to justice. This doesn't seem healthy for public confidence in the court, she added. The council said in a news release that the complaint against Justice Brown was received on January 29th and was referred to the Honourable Christopher Hinkson, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of British Columbia and chairperson of the CJC's Judicial Conduct Committee. On January 31st, Hinkson asked Justice Brown to comment on the allegations in the complaint. These comments were provided on February 20th. The council statement noted that, as with any complaint against a judge, this matter is being reviewed in accordance with the council's review procedures. Under the Judges Act, the CJC can investigate complaints against federally appointed judges. Canada's soon-to-be-enacted Supply Chain Transparency Law, which is aimed at curbing forced and child labour, will force companies to confront the reality that these human rights abuses can occur closer to home than they may assume. That's according to Sabrina Bandali, a partner at Bennett Jones LLP and an expert in international trade and investment law. She told Canadian Lawyer this week that the new law was a long time coming.
What's really exciting about the legislation is that there have been efforts in the past to try and have some form of supply chain transparency requirements to bring the issue of forced labor, what sometimes is referred to as modern slavery, and create legal obligations for companies to try and prevent or reduce the risk of it occurring in their supply chain. But those past efforts haven't resulted in an actual statute. And so this is the first time that legislation of this kind has gotten to the point where we can expect it to enter into law very soon.
A law restricting the ability of groups such as unions to run ad campaigns ahead of the last election is unconstitutional, and even the provincial government's decision to use the Charter's notwithstanding clause can't save it, the Court of Appeal for Ontario ruled Monday. The challenged spending restrictions infringe the informational component of the voters' right to meaningful participation in the electoral process, as set out by the Supreme Court, says a three-judge appeal court panel that heard the case. That decision, in Working Families Coalition Canada Inc. versus Ontario Attorney General, overturns a lower court's ruling that said the use of the notwithstanding clause was not improper and that the reenacted spending limits on third-party advertising during the pre-writ period did not infringe the right to vote under S3. The Canadian Civil Liberties Association, which intervened in the case, welcomed the decision. Since joining PointsBet Canada 2 years ago to help build the Canadian business from scratch and to lead the legal and compliance teams, Chantel Cipriano has been helping the online gaming operator to excel in the Canadian internet gaming and sports betting market, while maintaining a focus on responsible gambling. She spoke to Canadian Lawyer about how Ontario is currently leading the way for the internet gaming market in Canada as the first province to legalize online gambling in 2021. Legalizing what was once a grey area.
I'm hopeful that other provinces in Canada strongly consider the Ontario model for iGaming, that a private model where operators can apply for licensure or registration and offer their products to consumers in a safe and responsible way is something that is strongly considered, because we've seen the revenue that's been derived from it and how it's been beneficial to a host of other industries. And I think it would just be a lost opportunity if other provinces didn't look at this more closely.
Richard Wong was surrounded by infrastructure from an early age. His father was a civil engineer who worked with SNC-Lavalin on large-scale global projects like the CANDU nuclear reactor structures. But his father advised him against an engineering career, telling him he should not be the person who does the calculations and figures out the problem, but instead be the person who puts the deal together. This advice has stuck with Wong throughout his career. He spoke to us about his position at OSLA and what he hopes to impart to young lawyers through his many mentoring activities, both at the firm and in his broader volunteer work with the East Asian legal community.
I'm the chair of the construction infrastructure group. I'm an equity partner. I know, you know, how, and I've been there since, you know, like 20 years. And so there's a lot of things I can help convey, you know, to the articling student, junior associate, even senior associate on the progression, because there's a lot to learn from that. And I do fear many times that folks don't, you know, mentor enough. You know, it's not like you have one mentor and you say, okay, I've got my mentor, this is all good. It's about developing champions. And what I always tell from articling students to associates is that you really want someone to champion you when you're not there. If you can develop and cultivate a champion, that to me is, you know, maybe it's obvious to others, but, you know, I didn't know that's how the system actually worked. And so when I see things like partnership admits and, you know, associates being discussed for candidacy for partnership, you know, it is super important, you know, for the subject person to have champions who know them, in multiple dimensions, to be able to speak and advocate for them.
The Bank of Canada is seeking input on proposed rules governing payment service providers. The comment period on regulations that accompany new legislation ends March 28th. Ron Morrow, the Bank of Canada's Executive Director of Retail Payments Supervision, says getting feedback is important to finalising the regulations.
We and our colleagues in the Department of Finance who are running this process are very open to getting this feedback. And as I said, now's your chance. If there's something in there you think is could be improved or, you know, should be removed or needs to be adjusted, please. I mean, we genuinely want this feedback so we can get it right.
This week we marked International Women's Day, and on that day it's not unusual to see groups rallying to ensure that women and girls are not subjected to domestic violence and abuse. But what makes the Osgood Indigenous Students Association's contribution to the Moose Hide campaign unique is that it emphasises the role Indigenous and non-Indigenous men and boys can play against violence directed at women and children. Levi Marshall, one of the organisers of the Moose Hide campaign event at Osgood, told Law Times that even though Moose Hide Day isn't until May 11th, he wanted to make sure the law school participated.
I decided that I wanted to do it before the school year ended. And so this is our, I guess, our first year doing it in a few years at least. And we're just getting started with it. So hopefully in the next few years, it just gets bigger.
You'll find the links to these stories in the show notes. And to get the latest CL Talk episodes automatically in your favorite podcast app, just click follow or subscribe.